Well, good morning and welcome on this Memorial Day Sunday. How y'all doing today? On holidays such as this, we appreciate that freedom is not to be taken lightly, right? Freedom is not free. It comes often at great cost to others on our behalf. Well, I'm here for Pastor Dave today. I have the privilege of filling in for him. And today we're gonna talk a little bit about the book of Galatians. It's known as the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. We're going to talk about the freedom of faith today. It should be great fun. So I look forward to that. And in the meantime, peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
As you return to your seats, I would ask that you turn in your bulletin. We have a Memorial Day inspiration. Please recite your response to my prompt. Almighty God, before whom stand the living and the dead, we, your children, whose mortal life is but a hand's breadth, give thanks to you for all those through whom you have blessed our pilgrimage, whose lives that have empowered us, whose influence is a healing grace. For the dear friends and family members whose faces we see no more, but whose love is with us forever. For the teachers and companions of our childhood and youth, and for the members of our household of faith who worship you now in heaven. For those who sacrifice themselves, our brothers and sisters who have given their lives for the sake of others. That we may hold them all in continual remembrance and ever think of them as with you in that city whose gates are not shut by day and where there is no light. That we may now be dedicated to working for a world where labor is rewarded, fear dispelled, and the nations made one. Thank you for that lovely tribute here on Memorial Day. And again, I say good morning and welcome, especially to any visitors that we may have with us this morning. And visitors, if you would like a welcome packet of information, you may receive that from the ushers, or you can retrieve a little bag of information hanging on the shepherd's crook immediately outside the doors of the narthex. A reminder to please sign the registration pad in the red folders that are located at the end of your pew. Pass it to others, and then please bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in those red holders. Complete that card and then put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Brian this morning. I would like to highlight a few announcements. We have graduation Sunday here at the church, and that will be next Sunday, June 5th. This is the day we have set aside as a church family to recognize those who are graduating. Graduate information needs to be into the office by tomorrow. So if you or you know of a graduate, please submit that information to the church tomorrow. Now, the church is closed, so if you do have information, then just please leave the message on the church answering machine. And now we'll have two announcements from Diane Runser, our music director, and from Jack, the chair of our work trip. Diane?
We got, so far, 42 orders for directories. When I checked our contract with the company that's doing it, we need 200 to get the price that we quoted. So if you know shut-ins that would like a directory, if you have family members you want to send to, please get those orders in the next couple of weeks. We need to really add on to those. So if you have not ordered one or you want some more, please fill out the form that, if it's not in your bulletin, there are some on the narthex table. If you can't find a form and want to scratch on the back of a piece of paper, make sure you have your check number and your name, address, and phone number on it, so, and how many directories you want. That's basically what's on that form. It's $10 for each one. Secondly, from the witness committee, we have a new pastor coming at the 1st of July, and he'd like to know who you are. Back when Pastor Dave first came, we used name tags. And I know people hated him because you know who you are. He doesn't. So we're going to ask you for a short while, starting the first Sunday of July, to wear a name tag. Now, some of you were not here 6 years ago and perhaps do not have a name tag. Let me tell you where they are. They're in that, as I look back now, to the left of the door, to the back door of the church, to the parking lot, in that shelf area where there are some booklets, guideposts, and things like that. They are in there. They're in alphabetical order. If you were not here or you took your name tag home 6 years ago and put it in a drawer somewhere, then maybe you're going to have to go find it. But otherwise, there will be some blank name tags and a marker so that you can put your name on it, because I know that the new pastor will appreciate putting a face and a name together. So that's going to start the first week of July. You've got a couple weeks to go look in there and see if your name's there. Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, I admitted that the first service that I know where ours are at. They're home in the drawer. So I wanted to bring you up to date as to where we're at with the work trip. As of last Sunday's contributions, we now sit at $3,968. That's an increase of $760 in 1 week. It blows me away. I mean, I don't know why I'm so surprised by the fact that this congregation has been and will continue to be behind this mission's effort. But keep up the good work. That's the main thing. And we would continue to ask for your prayers. For the Pitzner family, for the work trip team, for the preparation as we get closer and closer to that time where we're going to put it from in my head to on the ground. During the shaking of hands, passing the peace, someone said, well, how can we only see you whenever it's the work trip time? Patty and I have been going to the Saturday evening alternative service, so we bring you greetings from that service. It is, and I said that to them last Saturday evening. It's like there's three different congregations, and that's okay, because we have all come together for one purpose, and that is to worship God. And this particular congregation loves to help others through the missions, and we just thank you for that, and we ask that you continue to do those things. If you are interested in purchasing or having names placed on particular materials, those forms are still available. You can fill that out either in memory and honor or also for the glory of God. And we would also encourage you that if you would like to help with a scholarship for one of the team members that are going down, some are taking whole family, so it would be nice if you were interested in doing something like that. You can find an envelope in the church pew. Note that you want that to go to scholarship, and Debbie will make sure that she keeps that money separate from the materials. We want to continue to thank you for the many blessings that we've experienced through this work trip. Patty and I are very interested in doing this because of the rewards that we all get a chance to see. And I would tell you that we would ask God to continue to bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you, Jack. And now just a final reminder to please check your bulletin for other announcements, meetings, and other activities in the life of our church.
Thank you.
I would ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Sing a new song of gratitude and praise.
Our God is God of all creation.
Great is the Lord, and great is God's love.
God's love.
Let the heavens be glad. Let the mountains rejoice.
Even the trees sing for joy, for God is God of all.
Please remain standing and join me with our opening prayer. God of heaven and earth, we call upon your name as we gather here for worship and praise. Hear our prayers and heed our cries as we yearn to grow closer to you. Shower us with your grace and light the fire of wisdom in our minds. Bless us with your presence that may we walk in your truth and live in your righteousness all the days of our lives. Amen. And now please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 77, in your red hymnal, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
children for the children's service. That's okay, but you know what? What they were going to collect for it is kind of important. It's important to the message of Memorial Day. It's for families who have... goes to families who have suffered the greatest of sacrifices from their sons and daughters or wives or husbands who have served in the military and given their ultimate sacrifice. And this group that we're collecting for today helps provide consolation and some support for those families. So please give as your heart dictates.
He stood beside his daddy and watched the soldiers marching by. It's Remembrance Day, and he wondered why there were tears in Daddy's eyes. Later they laid flowers beside a monument of stone. He said, "Son, my daddy went to fight, didn't make it home. Fallen, not fallen. Left behind their families and the towns where they were born, for the rice paddies of Vietnam and the sands of Desert Storm. They were soldiers in Korea, World War I and World War II. They paid the price and gave their lives when they fought for me. With honor and glory, they give.
Thank you, Deb, for that beautiful tribute. Now I would ask that you turn in your red hymnal for our responsive reading, Psalm 96, found on page 815 of your red hymnal. Please recite your response to my prompt. O, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Declare the Lord's glory among the nations, the Lord's marvelous works among all the people. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into the courts of the Lord.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Living God, we praise you for the miraculous ways you answer prayer. You alone are the Lord. Enable us to be more dedicated disciples, sharing our time and talents through the ministries of this church. All of this we pray in your holy name. Amen. Thank you.
come at a time of our service where we express joys and concerns and lift our joys and concerns up to God. Nobody in a hospital right now, right? Well, actually, we do know that Helen Barb's mother-in-law, she just had hip surgery. She's like 95 years old. And she just fell yesterday, the day before, had hip surgery, and is now at Forbes Regional Hospital. So she's in the hospital, and I know Barbara and Helen would covet our prayers to petition on her behalf. Got a note here that for support and prayers for the Norwin Knight varsity baseball team as they are playing for the WPIL championship on Wednesday. Go Knights, huh? Go Knights. I know that Bill Haar passed recently, and so extend our condolences to his family and friends. Bill was a pillar of this church, and he was very active in this congregation for years, and I know we're all going to miss him, but he will be welcomed into God's kingdom. Any other joys and concerns? Great. Good news, right? Good news, Connie. Yeah, I got one more. It's this guy in the congregation. We all know him. I remember when I first met him, when I first started here. How long has it been? 20 years? I don't know. Always struck me as a little bit mean and scary. And actually, quite now, I'm still a little scared of him. But, you know, his bark has always been worth it, his bite. He's very active in our music program. And whenever there's something to be put up, he's there to do it, and he's there to help. I'm talking about Fritz. Fritz now retired as of last week, right, Fritz? We all wish you the best, and we wish God's grace in your retirement, Fritz.
I agree. We'd be still scared.
Any other joys and concerns this morning? Well, would you join me in our prayer hymn, hymn number 430, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.
Thank you.
We gather here today to bask in your grace, Father, in union with our Savior Jesus Christ and armed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you would choose to grant mercy to us, that you love us as you do. It's something we can barely grasp. First and foremost, strengthen our faith and help us find ways to use us for your will. Bless the missionary efforts of this congregation. We pray for those on our prayer list today. We praise for our members in the military that they may benefit from your presence. Be with our service personnel and our missionaries. Be with those who are weakened by infirmity and grief and addiction, that they may be healed in spirit through grace, mercy, and faith. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, our scripture reading today is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 176 of your pew Bible. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if there is anyone preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me was not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. You know, I don't know if you picked it up in the scripture reading today, but I think it's fair to say that Paul's pretty ticked off at the Galatians, isn't he? I mean, you read a lot of Paul's letters to his churches in the New Testament, and usually there's this section of commendation and prayer and thanksgiving and go on for multiple verses. But here in Galatians, he can't wait to get through the civil stuff so we can start busting their chops. I've been in that. I can sort of sympathize. I remember when we had our kids were small and they come to the dinner table and we tried to make an effort to make dinner pleasurable. We didn't want to criticize them, you know, all the time at dinner. But there is some days when they did something so mind-numbingly stupid that I just couldn't wait to jump in on. So we do the blessing. How are you? How are you? And then I say, what were you thinking? and I jump all over them. That's what Paul's doing here to the Galatians. What are you thinking? Read again. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you to the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to prevent the gospel of Christ. In putting it another, if you ever read the Mission, which is the contemporary language interpretation of the Bible, it puts it this way. I can't believe your fickleness. How easily you've turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. What is it? Paul's so worked up. Why is he so mad? Well, this is a sore spot for Paul. Remember back in Acts 15 where they had the Jerusalem Council? And the big issue of the day was in terms of how to handle Gentiles and how they can be saved and converted to Christianity. The question was, for the Gentiles to convert, do all they need is faith in Christ, or do they need faith, plus do they have to give themselves the Mosaic law? Basically, faith or faith plus works. And back at the Jerusalem Council back in 49 AD, Paul was pretty persuasive in arguing that all Gentiles needed for salvation was faith in Christ. And he was pretty successful in convincing his colleagues of that. But the dissident faction, it wouldn't go away. And after the council, Paul would go and found a church. And then he'd go on to his next location. And the Judaizers, I'll call them, that's what they're referred to, who believed that you needed faith plus compliance with Mosaic law, they would come in right after Paul left. And that's what they did to the Galatians. And the Galatians were known for being a difficult people anyway. They were fickle. They were always looking for the next trend. You never knew their position one day or the next. So when Paul hears that the Galatians were beginning to convert in a way that required them to give themselves the Mosaic law, that salvation was something more than based on faith, but based on faith and works, that was entirely unacceptable to him. Look what he says, and this again is from the Message version. He says, "Let me be blunt. If one of us, even if an angel from heaven were to preach something other than what we preached originally, let him be cursed. I say it once, I say it again, if anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be cursed." So much for tolerance for diversity of opinion, I guess, huh? I don't think Paul would have done well in today's political climate of political correctness. He didn't really care what people thought. He had a real concern about incorporating works as a precondition to salvation, as he should. Nobody was more an expert in the law than Paul was. And what Paul knew was from the beginning of the law up to then, no man was capable of perfect compliance with the law, so it couldn't be done. If you make that part of the equation, in addition to faith, you need faith and you need your works to earn salvation, you've already lost. You died. You're spiritually dead. I think the other thing that Paul realized and wanted his people to realize is that when you start adding works to the equation, you're going to see how silly it is when you see what Jesus Christ gave up for us. What do you have to add to that? Aren't you trivializing the sacrifice of Jesus when you introduce your own works into the equation? Sunday school, we're studying Mere Christianity from C.S. Lewis, and one of the analogies that C.S. Lewis gives that sort of stuck with me, it says, imagine God's creator as a painter, and he's painting this picture. Okay, when we're all the picture, right? He's breaststroking us all in. Okay? And then let's take that analogy a bit farther. You know, God wants to save us, so he paints himself into his creation, into the picture. And then take that one step further. That God that he's painted into the picture, Jesus Christ, he submits to being beaten and ultimately murdered. How do you improve on that? How do you add to that? Huh? Imagine the most beautiful picture you've ever seen. The greatest, maybe you favor Rembrandt or Van Gogh or Picasso, and you go to see this beautiful picture, right? And when you look at it, somebody has written on the picture, you know, Elmer was here, or Mary Hart John, or Go Penned. You defaced the picture, right? You've ruined it. Stop that. It doesn't add anything. When you add something to the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you're subtracting through addition. And that had Paul tremendously upset. That was the fallacy. All right? Not that faith is a walk in the park, by the way, is it? Well, even before we get to that, let me ask you this. Believing that your works can enter into the equation, it's not just an innocent mistake. I will submit to you that there is malice aforethought there. That you're looking for something. You want a way to control the situation. You want to believe that if you have something to offer of value, then you're in a better bargaining position. Because that's what you're really looking to do, aren't you? You want to bargain with God. So if you have something of value, then you have leverage. And you say real estate is all about location, location, location. Bargaining is all about leverage. All right? You want to get what the other party wants, and you want to have something valuable to offer them so that they will give you what you want. Okay? And you start to think of the scales of justice. And if your efforts really have value, then if you can just get this side of the scale to 51%, you can squeeze in, right? You know, and you can keep the 49% all for yourself. You can control it. You can pay a high rate of taxes. Now, you may be willing to do that, but at least you want to keep some of those dark spaces all to yourself. Well, that's really inconsistent with faith, because with faith, you know, God wants it all, right? When you think of faith, faith is more than belief that something exists. You know, it's not enough that you believe God exists, or you believe Jesus Christ exists. I think that piano bench exists, but I don't worship it. Faith is something more than that. Faith is a commitment and a trust in Jesus Christ, followed by submission to his will. Faith is recognizing that Christ and only Christ is good, and that the best we can hope for is to let Christ live through us so that his goodness can be spread and his will can be accomplished, even if we're broken. You think of Christ, you think of faith, you think about a sensitivity of his presence, that he's right here with us, okay? Not just some wallflower, that he's actively participating in our conversation here right now. He's actively participating in what I have to say, and he's actually participating in what you get out of it. And if I do it wrong, he'll make it so when it gets to you, it's right. That's what faith is. Yeah. So what's so liberating about that, I guess, is the question. You know, we know Paul found faith through faith of being the only basis for salvation to be liberating. So did Martin Luther. So did John Wesley. What is liberating about faith? Well, I'll submit to you that if you're not seeking God, if you don't want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not liberating at all. It's rather smothering. It's raining on your mortal parade. If you don't want to have a relationship with Christ, then just keep on marching to your own individual beat to nowhere. But if you're seeking Christ, then it becomes a lifeline to you. When Jesus Christ enters you and you invite him into your house, your soul, you know, and you've all heard this analogy before, I'm sure. You can't just keep him in a living room, right? Where you have everything nice and ready for him. He's going to the closet. He's going to the attic. What's up here? What's over here? What's in the medicine cabinet? You got to let him in all those dark spaces that you have. Okay? It's hard work. And he makes you face your inadequacies. So when you're moving forward in faith and you get to that point where God is making you face, frankly, what a screw up you are, you start to wonder, can anything good come of what I'm trying to do? Consider the plight of John Wesley, 1735. You know, John's a learned man. He studied Scripture. He is sincere in his desire to seek God. No question about that. He goes to America and he's going to convert Indians. And he gets to America and things don't go the way he thinks they should go anyway. He sees all this time as God is opening those doors to his dark spaces. He sees where he's made mistakes. He sees where he's done things he shouldn't have done. He sees where he didn't do things that he should have done. And even the things he did do that he should do were oftentimes for the wrong motivation. And with that knowledge, being faced with that, he finds himself in a bit of despair. He starts to second guess himself. He writes, I came to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me? And really, you know, as a side note, his mission to America wasn't a failure. It wasn't what he wanted in the time frame that he wanted it, but it was the bedrock of the Great Awakening in America. But that was something he couldn't see. He couldn't see the forest for the trees at the time. So he slinks back to England, and he's attending the meeting house on Aldersgate Street, and they're preaching from the book of Romans. Romans has a very similar theme as does Galatians. Romans is a methodical argument of why faith is sufficient for salvation. Galatians adds a dash of passion to that. But it was at that meeting that John Wesley, he got it. He got it right there. What did he get? What did he get that we can all take away from that? John Wesley got the fact that, my God, I am a screw up, but God can still work through me, even when I'm broken. And that's the liberty that Martin Luther sees and Paul sees in faith. It's knowing that God can work through us, even if all our motivations are wrong, even if it seems like we're doing it the wrong way, he will make it work. And that's really the joy that John Wesley experiences. Like, I screwed up, but God still exercises his will. Ha! You can't beat me, right? So there are those who, you know, read the book of James and they'll say, yeah, but as you know, in the book of James, it says that faith without works is dead faith. And how about that? Well, I don't see a conflict there. You're comparing apples to oranges here. Faith is the cause of salvation. Works is the evidence of salvation. They're not mutually exclusive here. The only thing that you have to offer to God for salvation is what he has given you, grace. And it's even there for screw-ups. And for this broken screw-up of a man, I find a lot of joy in that. Amen. Would you join us now in our closing hymn of parting, number 467. Holy Spirit. Amen.